Well, it's a beautiful summer's morning, a day not unlike today. It was in my hometown of Llangollen. It was a Saturday morning. I was in my late teens. The football season was over, so I woke up wondering what on earth I was going to do with my day. So I got up, had some breakfast, and I wandered into town, and there was a buzz in the air that morning. There was an air of excitement. There was brightly coloured flags and banners being hung from the various buildings around the town. There was lots of people populating the town centre, people everywhere, and most of them were wearing tracksuits and trainers. Of course, how could I forget? It was the Llangollen's annual castle race. Now, a castle race might seem sound harmless enough to yourselves, but as with most things in Wales, it involves a rather large hill. And the castle was set up on a hill about 1,000 feet above sea level, and the course circled the castle. It was a 7-mile circuit around the castle. It didn't quite take you up 1,000 feet, but almost. And in a moment of impulsive madness, I found somebody who looked official and said, "Can anyone enter?" And they said, "Yes." And so I did. I went home, got changed, and soon found myself lined up alongside some rather healthy, fit-looking athletes. There was nobody in a chicken suit or a gorilla suit or running as Superman, and it was soon very apparent to me that this was no fun run. Well, the race started off sedately enough. It followed the main road out of Llangollen. It was flat. The countryside was beautiful. I was feeling good, quite enjoying myself. But after a mile or so, just as I was getting into my comfort zone, we took a very sharp and sudden left turn. And it was up the steepest hill you could imagine. And this steep hill seemed to go on for miles and miles and miles. Every step that I made up that hill I thought would be my last. And just as I was thinking about giving up and telling myself this is not worth it, it wasn't such a good idea after all, just as I was thinking of ripping my number off my shirt and trying to mingle into the crowd, one of the other runners noticed that I was struggling, and he came in front of me, just alongside me, and he said this: "Tucking behind me, take your time on the hills, and remember, it's just 1 foot in front of the other." And with those words of wisdom and encouragement, I not only finished the race, but won a prize. And today's Bible verses were written to a group of new Christians who were thinking of giving up. They'd left their old way of life behind. They'd begun to follow Jesus, but they'd not been this way before. And they were finding the going ever so tough. That initial excitement had worn off. And like me, on that steep hill, their thoughts were very much on turning back. And Hebrews 12:1-3 contain words of wisdom and words of encouragement designed specifically to help these new Christians keep going, to persevere, to finish their race, and to claim their prize. You will have noticed already that these three verses are built around three little phrases, three let us's, okay? Three let us's, and we're going to consider them one at a time. Let us throw, let us run, and let us fix. Okay, that's where we're going tonight. First of all, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Well, running a race really is a brilliant picture, a great analogy of what it is to be a Christian, of what it is to live the Christian life. And the writer to the Hebrews certainly has such a picture on his mind here. And he begins by getting us to picture a cheering crowd who have already completed this race. And the fact that he uses this little phrase, "let us," reminds us that we're not running this race alone. This is something we do together. It's not every Christian for themselves. That little phrase, "let us," teaches us that. It's something we're to do together. And we can also learn something else really important from a little word that he uses. And it's that word, "everything." By using that word, "everything," he's conveying to us that there is nothing, nothing more important than running this race. So throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Don't let anything hold you back in this race of life. But to enter this race and to run this race well, there's something that we need to get to grips with first. And that something is highlighted there for us in verse 1. And it's sin. It's such a little word, but for sure it's our biggest problem, both in starting this race, but also in keeping going as well. In fact, it's sin that stops us starting this race. And it's also sin that starts us stopping in the race. Sin stops us starting the race, and sin can start us stopping. And just spend a little bit of time on each of those. There's a sin that stops us starting this race. You can't be a Christian. You can't even be in this race that we're talking about tonight, this race that leads to heaven, until you have had your sin dealt with. And the Bible insists that we are all sinners by nature. We're rebels at heart, not naturally wanting God to rule over us. He's our maker. Your every breath, your every heartbeat, your every moment is a gift from him. But to live in this world without reference to him, to live in his world but in your way, is what the Bible calls sin. And it's for sure your biggest problem. Sin is your biggest problem because it separates you from the God who your soul really longs to be in relationship with. And sin is your biggest problem because it not only separates you from the God who made you and the God who loves you, it also sets you on a collision course with his judgment. That sounds like a big problem to me. So there's a sin that stops us starting this race. If you've not had your sin dealt with, you're not in it. You personally, deliberately, need to put your faith for the forgiveness of your sins in Jesus Christ and his atoning death on the cross. There's only one place for you to take your sin and have your sin dealt with, and that's to the cross. You need to take it there. When you have your sins forgiven, you're in the race we're talking about tonight. So there's a sin that stops us starting this race, but I'm sure you're all aware that these words were written to Christians, weren't they? These were written to those who had already begun this race. So there must be a sin that can start us stopping in the race. Once we've started, there's a sin that can hinder us from making progress. Let's just settle our thoughts on that kind of sin for a moment. You know, every new Christian finds that they have a new relationship with God, but every new Christian will also find they have a new relationship with sin. Though they've been forgiven, they'll find that sin still troubles them. Sin still causes them doubts and fears, and every day they seem to battle with temptation. Well, let me assure you, first of all, that if you're a Christian who's battling with sin today, then you're not alone. It's every Christian's experience. And our battle with sin will not be done until we've made it through that finish line. We've made it to heaven. So how are we to deal with the sin that we encounter in our lives? Our sin has been forgiven. We're in a right relationship with God. How are we to deal with the sin we encounter on a daily basis? Well, the writer to the Hebrews tells us exactly what we're to do with it. We're to throw it off. We're to throw off our sin because it entangles us. It stops us from making progress in the right directions. And you know, I think there are two ways in which sin can entangle a Christian. Firstly, it can hold on to you. And secondly, you can hold on to it. It can hold on to you. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is this. You find that sins of your past still haunt you. They still trouble you. Things that you've done long ago. You close your eyes and you're troubled by them. Have I really been forgiven of that sin? Those people you've hurt in the past. Those hateful thoughts you've had. And that every memory grips you and entangles you. And that voice in your head says, you can't be a Christian. You're not fit enough to run this race. And they seem to hold you tight, like a creeping ivy. It seems to get a tight hold. And it seems to hinder your progress. These are the sins that hold on to you. How do we throw off those sins? We're not to listen to that voice in our head. We're to listen to the voice of God in His Word. Listen to these words. I will remember their sins no more. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. He's not remembering those sins anymore. He's certainly not holding them against you. So throw off the sins that try and hold on to you. They have no right, they have no reason to hold you back. The power of forgiveness won through the cross enables you to break free from those sins which would seek to hold on to you. It's the power of forgiveness that frees you from those sins which seek to hold on to you. Throw them off. Take God at His word. Believe what He says. I will remember those sins no more. But there are some sins, aren't there, which don't so much hold on to you, but you hold on to them. And what I'm talking about here is those darling sins, those favourite sins. And it's a sad confession. Every Christian has them. You know those kind of sins that you struggle with most? Might be different. You took a cross-section of the Christians here. The sin that one person might struggle with most might not be the same as the sin another Christian struggles with most. But they're the sins that you hold on to. And they're the sins that you battle with every day of your lives. And these sins too will entangle you and hold you back. How are we to deal with these sins? Well, the writer doesn't distinguish. He just says, throw them off. Throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Discard them. Be ruthless with those sins. You know, God has given you the power to defeat those sins. Did you know that? God has given you the power to throw off the sins that you hold on to. And the power of forgiveness enables you to throw off the sins that hold on to you. The power of the Holy Spirit enables you to throw off the sins that you hold on to let them go, to throw them behind you, and to make progress in the right direction. So though Christians will sin, God for sure has given us the power to make progress in our battle against sin. Though you will never be perfect this side of glory, God has given you the power to deal with those sins. I want to tell you the story. It's a story I'm sure you've heard before. It's the story of a convicted thief who was doing time for his life of stealing. And whilst he was in prison, he became a Christian. And on the first Sunday after his release, he went to church. And as he sat down in the church, he looked forward. And as he looked forward, he saw two plaques at the front of the church. And the two plaques were listing the Ten Commandments, 1 to 4, were on the commandments on his left. 6 to 10 were on the plaque on his right. And naturally, his eyes were drawn to the 8th command, "You shall not steal." Ouch, he felt. He felt utterly condemned as he sat there that morning. "You shall not steal." He felt crushed. He felt deflated. He felt defeated by these words. But as the service went on and his eyes time and time again were drawn back to those words, the emphasis of the words seems to change. The words were the same, but the emphasis seemed to change. He began to read them not so much as a command, but as a promise. "You will not steal." It was as though God was making a promise to him. "You will not steal. You will defeat the sin with which you battle with most. And I have given you the power to do that." The realization soon dawned on this freed criminal that now that he was a Christian, God had given him the power to conquer the sin he struggled with most. The commandments give us the direction of God. They tell us the direction in which God wants you to head in as a Christian. But we need more than direction, don't we? We need power. And the power that takes us in the direction that God would have us to go is the Holy Spirit. And God not only forgives everyone who comes to the cross for forgiveness, not only deals with your sin, he also gives you a new power to live your new life, to head in a new direction and make progress. Christian friends, you have the Holy Spirit of God living in you. Be Spirit-filled, filled people. Throw off the sin. Throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. You know, this verse could be translated, "Keep on throwing off. Keep doing it, okay? You're going to battle with sin every day of your life. Keep throwing them off. Keep battling. Don't give in. Don't give in." So, that's the first, let us. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. The second one is this: let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And here we're not only told what to do, we're told how to do it. We're told to run and to keep running. That's what we're to do, and that's how we're to do it. We're to run and keep running, however hard it gets, and to never, ever, ever give up. The Greek word that's been translated here as race is agona. It's from where we get our English word agony. It's sometimes in the New Testament translated as strife or conflict. Let us run with perseverance the strife, the conflict, the agony marked out for us. You're getting the picture, aren't you? This race we're talking about, this Christian life, is not a walk in the park. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. It can be tough. And the only way to run this race and to reach the finish line is by persevering, by running and never, ever, ever giving up. Let us run with perseverance. And perseverance is all about putting one foot in front of the other. How do we persevere? How do we make progress in the right direction? What's the secret? Well, it's one step at a time. It's one day at a time. It's one hour at a time. It's one moment at a time. It's one step. And what? One step in itself doesn't seem a lot, does it? You know, one Bible reading, one visit to church when you don't really feel like it. One temptation you refuse to submit to, one good deed that you do for your neighbour, one act of faith, one prayer, one self-sacrificing gift, one act of loving devotion. In and of themselves, they don't seem much at all. But they were all just one step. And our Christian lives are made up of a succession of one steps. Whenever I speak about perseverance, I'm always drawn to the story of the Xbox and Michael Watson. You might know something of his story. In 2003, he ran the London Marathon. But before that, he'd nearly died in a fight with Chris Eubank. And he was told that he would never walk again. Well, it was on Saturday the 19th of April, 12:15, 2003, some 6 days and 1 hour after Paula Radcliffe had finished her race in record-breaking time, that he too crossed the finish line. Peter Hamlin, the neurological surgeon who'd performed 6 life-saving operations on him, said this: "He will hit the wall after the first 100 yards. And we'll be walking through the war ever after." How did he finish his race? How did he do it? One step at a time. So let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us too run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Every Christian has the same destination. Have the same goal, the same prize, the same direction. But our routes might be a little bit different. The race marked out for me in my life might be quite different to your life. You may encounter things that I never encounter in my race. Likewise, I may encounter things that you may never encounter. But know this: God has marked out your race. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. How are we to run the race marked out for us? with perseverance. Never, ever, ever turning back. And then finally, the writer says this, let us fix. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. The antidote to looking back and turning back is found in looking somewhere else. It's found in looking to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith. Now, don't think that faith in your Christian life was just a thing of the past when you came to faith in Christ. Every step of this race is a step of faith. And faith, I think, in its simplest form, the simplest way I can think of describing, explaining faith to you is this. Faith is living in the light of what God has said. Okay, faith is living in the light of what God has said. It's how we began the race, isn't it? We heard that we were hell-bound sinners. We heard that we needed a Savior. We knew that to be true. So we put our faith in Jesus and what he achieved on the cross. We began to live in the light of that fact. That's what faith is, beginning to live in the light of what God has said. But faith is not just a thing of the past. Faith is something we need to be experiencing and exercising every day of our Christian lives. Do you know the staggering truth on show here, and it's underlined in other places in the Bible, is that, you know, the faith that we have, even the faith that we put in Christ in the first instance, that faith too came from him. He is the author and the perfecter of our faith. So he gave us the faith in the first place. And he's the one who will perfect us in our faith. What did we need to start this race? We needed faith in Jesus. Where did that faith come from? It came from Jesus. So where should we look to see our faith grow and be perfected? Surely we should look to the same source. Can you begin to see that central to living the Christian life and to running this race well is not following a set of rules? It's about following a special person. As I was saying this morning, our faith, our forgiveness, our fulfillment, our hope are found in no one else other than in Christ alone. So don't be looking elsewhere for help in this race. If you've been struggling, thinking of turning back, weary, don't look anywhere else. Not only look to him, the writer here says, fix your eyes. Fix your gaze upon Jesus. And here's the point, and keep doing so. It's not a glance, it's not a one-off look. It's the thing that will keep you going. So look to Christ today, fix your eyes on him today and tomorrow. Fix your eyes on him, and next week and next year, fix your eyes on Jesus. He's the one who will enable you to run this race well. You know, one of the things that we're meant to see in this little passage here is Jesus as the role model example of persevering, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame. Jesus too persevered in his road, on the road that he trod. And for sure he found it tough. If you're not convinced by that, then just read the account of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus knows all about what it's like to find the going tough. He's been there. And yet, step by step, he endured, he persevered, he ran the race marked out for him, fully focused on the cross and all that would be accomplished through it. Consider him, says the writer. And here's our two-word remedy that stops us from growing weary and losing heart. Consider him. And as we consider Jesus, as we consider all that he went through, as we consider the fact that the feet that they pierced and nailed to the cross were the same feet that persevered along the Jerusalem road, when we consider such things, when we think on those outstretched arms, when we listen to him cry out in the garden, when we consider him, this is our remedy against growing weary and losing heart and turning back. Consider Christ. Look to him. Fix your eyes on him. Well, if your sin is still stopping you starting this race, take it to the cross of Jesus. If there's something hindering you from running this race well, take it to the cross of Jesus. If there's a sin holding on to you, or if there's a sin that you're holding on to, take it to the cross of Jesus. If you've begun looking back, look again to the cross of Jesus. Considering turning back? Consider him. And turn back to the cross. Christian friends, let us throw. Let us run. Let us fix. And let us take these words of wisdom and these words of encouragement to heart. Let's live in the light of them. And by faith, we will not only finish this race, but claim that heavenly prize. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, on this hot and humid night when it's been difficult to speak and difficult to listen, come by your Spirit and may every word that has been unhelpful be forgotten, but every word that has come from your heart, may it find its resting place in our hearts. Cement this truth into our lives. As we come around this table now, and again as we consider him, may we be encouraged and strengthened and enabled to take that next step of faith. Hear our prayers. We pray them in Jesus' name. Amen.